Christians basically want to know where you go to church, right? You get asked that question a lot. It's not like, how's your relationship with God? What do you think about the deity? No, it's, where do you go to church? Like, that's the most important thing? No, I don't think it is. But that's the question that is on the hearts and minds of the Christian world. Except for this question. There's one question that exceeds it, I think. And I got to tell you this. I think it's, are you born again? Although it's asked like this. Are you born again? You got to be born again. If you're not born again, you're doomed. The born again Christian. I mean, that phrase is synonymous with being saintly, with caring about God, with being saved. You must be born again, quoting Jesus' words. But I contend to you today, misplacing Jesus' words, misapplying them, applying them to people to whom they don't belong. And here again, we have a difference between the gospel of the circumcision and the uncircumcision. Hello, everyone. I am Martin Zender from Studio One. I want you all to order my book, The First Idiot in Heaven. This book will help the scriptures make sense to you. There are two gospels in the New Testament, not four. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, same gospel. The gospel given to Abraham, given to Peter, given to the terrestrial Jesus. The gospel of the uncircumcision given by the glorified Christ to Paul for the nations. And it does away with, it doesn't do away with it, but it doesn't require law, as we've been seeing. It doesn't require baptism. It's total grace. And thank God that you are called to this. Yesterday, I gave you reason number 10, I should say difference number 10 out of 31, that the baptism is required for the circumcision. And you know what? I said yesterday, I got to correct something. I said that the baptism of Acts 2:38, where Peter says on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. That was a specific repentance for people who had just recently crucified their Messiah. But remember, at the end of Matthew, in chapter 28, Jesus says to the disciples, go therefore, baptize all the nations in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, none of them did that during their lifetimes. You read Acts' account, there's none of it. They know Peter goes to one guy of the nations, Cornelius, and then he retreats back to his safe place. But in the kingdom, there will be baptizing going on like crazy. Yes, the baptizers will make a good living dunking people into water or sprinkling them or doing whatever they have to do. Baptism, again, Israel's into ceremony. Even when they're saved in the kingdom, they're into ceremony. They're into ceremony. But as I said yesterday, what is our call? Paul says there's only one baptism. I read that yesterday. I should have made this point. If there's only one baptism today, here's a good argument to make to people who insist on baptism. Go to that verse in Ephesians, where there's one baptism, Ephesians 4, verse 5. Is that 4, 5? Well, if it's not, read the whole book of Ephesians, you'll find it. There's one baptism. Is it water or spirit? That's a trick question for people. It's an honest question. If there's one baptism, what is it, water or spirit? They'd have to say spirit, I would think, unless they say water. It's water. Like Ann Sullivan. And, whoa. No, it's spirit, and it identifies us with Christ. So this born-again thing. Here's the gospel of the circumcision. Peter's gospel, you must be begotten anew, or born again. This is Jesus' words from John 3:3. Jesus, speaking to Nicodemus, answered him, saying, verily, verily, I am saying to you. Whenever Jesus starts a sentence like that, you better listen up. If anyone should not be begotten anew, and depending on the translation, most of them say born again, he cannot perceive the kingdom of God. What was Christ alluding to? He was alluding to a passage in Isaiah. Isaiah 66, verse 8, about a nation being born in one day. And Nicodemus, the man that Jesus was talking to about this, should have known about it because it was in his own scriptures. So being born again or begotten anew means bringing forth a new thing from an old thing. That's a critical point. Bringing a new thing from an old thing. The old thing is Israel, and the new thing is Israel now with a heart of flesh rather than a heart of stone. So we're taking Israel and we're reforming Israel with the new birth. And the new birth has to do with a nation being born in one day. The reference is Isaiah 66:8. This is why I mocked at the beginning the idea of a Christian being born again, or any individual being born again. Being born again is a corporate call for Israel, because Isaiah referenced, shall a nation be born in one day, a nation. And Jesus said, ye must be born again. That's a plural. It has to do with the Jews. It's a national revival of Israel, not an individual revival of non-Jews. Look how they've changed this. This is an individual revival of non-Jews being born again. I'm telling you, people today, they'll just grab anything in the Bible that they like the sound of, and they'll use it, especially if it's something you have to do, especially if it's something they can be the administrators of. They set the terms of it. Ye must be born again, and I'm just the one to tell you how to do it. And so you become beholden to them, because they've taken this command, this exhortation, out of context. It was meant for corporate Israel, not to individual non-Israelites, but doesn't matter to them. They do that with the tithe also. They take something that was required for Israel and they say, well, this is for you too. Why? How? Because I said so. Shut up and pay up. So it's just illegal. It's illegal to take all these things out of context, hold them over your head. Like yesterday, Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized. Says who? Well, that's what Peter said in Acts 2:38. Well, why did he say it? See, they don't know the context. They don't want to hear about the context. They shut you down whenever you start asking logical questions, which I do for a living. The new birth is not a good Israelite here and a good Israelite there. Individuals are not born again. Again, a nation is born again. 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 I say again. Oh, not one person I'm speaking to today has been born again, has ever been born again, because that's a radical thing to say. But I'm known for this, and I don't shy away from it. Martin, show me where you think the born-again people are. You think that girl over there is born again? No, I don't. Nobody's born again. Of course, the nation consists of individuals. That's true. So every Israelite destined for the kingdom gets born again simultaneously when God gives the conglomerate nation a new heart. And that is the new birth, is giving Israel a new heart. The 1,000-year kingdom will employ this same earth. The Jews will be on this earth during the kingdom. In the 1,000-year kingdom, this same oblate spheroid we now sit on will be regenerated. The curse will be lifted and the earth will bring forth. God will remove the curse and it will be revitalized. And this is parallel to what God does with Israel. So in a sense, the earth will be born again, right? Right along with Israel. It's a type. The earth is regenerated. They're taking the old earth. We're not getting away with it. We're not creating a new earth. We're regenerating the present earth. That's exactly what happens with Israel. We're taking a present nation. We're just regenerating her. As with Israel, it will be the same raw material, but it will be revitalized. Now, Gospel of the Uncircumcision. This is a whole different ballgame for us. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, so that if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. The primitive passed by. Lo, there has come new. A new creation, ladies and gentlemen, is far more radical than a new birth. Again, a new birth is regeneration. A new birth takes the same raw material, makes it into something new. Paul's not talking about that. This is more radical than that. In Christ, God has wiped out the old humanity. Our old humanity was crucified. The deeper message of the cross, in fact, the deepest message of the cross, is that God has started from scratch. He's gotten rid of the old, destroyed the old, considered the old to have died. This is not the message of the new birth. This isn't Israel's message. With Israel's message, the gospel of the circumcision, Israel still matters. National identity still matters, because you're regenerating an old thing. With Israel's message, the old humanity remains intact. It's reformed, not destroyed. Peter, this is going to be a shock to many people, never expounded upon the depths of the cross. Peter never taught that the cross wiped out the old humanity, because he didn't know that. Jesus didn't give him that truth, didn't tell him about that aspect of the cross. the glorified Christ gave that message of what the cross did to all humanity to one man. He gave it to Paul, and Paul alone. So Paul then, in his message, consequent to the revelation given to him by Christ, eliminates fleshly distinctions. And Paul says that in Christ there's neither Jew nor Greek. Galatians 3:28. Did you hear that? In Christ there's neither Jew nor Greek. That message would be fatal to a circumcision guy. They don't teach it. Find me one verse in the Bible where Peter says there's neither Jew nor Greek. You won't find it. The circumcision gospel appeals to fleshly people. This is why most Christians like it, because they like to work on their flesh. They like the idea of reformation. They like the idea of taking their raw material and making it into, basically reforming it. They're fleshly people. They like the idea of reformation. They love self-improvement programs. We, however, have tasted the depths of the cross. We are not into reforming this old carcass. We have given up on it. We're not interested in reformation. We look at ourselves and say, forget it. And you know what? That's scriptural. Forget it. There's something new. The new creation looks at the old creation and says, forget it. This is dying. It's dead. And we're to consider it dead. God has started from scratch. Jesus Christ is the last Adam. He's a new creation. And in the new creation, as we're to think of ourselves as a new creation, the old is not reformed. It's destroyed and done away with. And all that remains for us is to realize that this has happened. One more verse here, 2 Corinthians 5:17. The primitive passed by. The primitive, that is considering ourselves after the flesh, has passed by. Lo, there has come new. I don't know about you, but this is some of the best news I've ever heard. This is you now in spirit. We're to think of ourselves this way. You are brand new. So forget. This allows you to forget about worrying about your flesh. Reckon it as dead. Romans 6, verses 5 through 11. Read that and rejoice. Reckon your old humanity to have died and get on. Get on with this. Get on with worshiping Jesus Christ with the peace and the joy of spirit that can only come by realizing that He is not taking account of you in accord with the old humanity. He sees you as a new humanity.